Today, we're live out on the street, closer than ever before to where news actually happens. Above me, the sky. Around me, the people. So often the dramatis personae of news events. You, sir, you're a person on the street. How close are we to a news?
Very close, actually. I'm wondering what watch over the road here. Someone getting knocked down.
Stand aside, peasant. This is On The Hour.
Oh, right. Okie dokie.
On The Hour. Such is politics.
It's a pain.
On The Hour.
What you mustn't do in politics is listen to people.
It's a painful business.
On Radio 4. Such is...
I do want to say on the hour with Christopher Morris.
These facts are ear-shaped. Let's ram them home. What do I see coming over the Alps?
The headlines.
Borrowed dog finds Scotland. UN General Assembly hide Pope in cupboard, and Stokecraft may save Sinatra.
On The Hour.
Plus, coming up, the Queen beats her sister in a 5-day drinking contest.
Standing here today, I am conscious.
And passing bird stick.
Well, I'm sorry, we seem to have lost the On The Hour outside broadcast for a moment, so while we try and fix the wire, here's some drama from the BBC Breakdown Unit, who are living in a drama studio day and night, performing 24-hour drama for occasions such as these. The play at the moment is Thanks George by Jeff Taylor. Barbara and George have been happily married for 15 years, but when Jane comes to tea, she turns out to be not quite the best friend she thought she was.
I don't want to sound funny or anything, but I think something's going on with George.
Going on?
Well, please say if you notice anything.
Ah!
Hello, darling.
Hello, Barbara. Hello, Jane.
Hello, George.
We were just talking about you.
Oh.
Sure you're all right?
I'll be back later. It's just work.
Look, it's my fault.
Look, is something going on between you two? Because you're both acting frankly strangely. Hello?
Saved by the bell.
It's not going to work. You'll have to tell her now.
Kenny?
George, I can't go on living a lie.
Kenny, turn that music down.
I can't tell her.
Why not?
Your friends.
Don't you see you owe it to me?
She's my wife!
You owe it to yourself, George.
Well, I gather we can return now to On The Hour, but due to the severity of the technical trauma, the outside broadcast has been abolished. So, for the next few minutes, the programme will be on the move from its location in the street to an emergency studio in Broadcasting House.
That's right, I'm standing precisely bang outside Broadcasting House reception at the moment. I'm about to proceed through the building and I shall attempt to keep you abreast of the news as I do so. The art world is still reeling after two galleries, the National and the Tate, have been hit by origami attacks. The wave of meticulous vandalism has left collectors aghast as major paintings were carefully removed from their frames and folded into three-dimensional figures. I'm sorry?
The pass.
Sorry?
Show me your pass and then you can...
I'm bursting with news. If you stop me, I'll explode.
Still show me the pass.
I have to carry on.
You'll have to show
Do you want money?
I want a pass.
How much money can you take?
I want to see the pass first.
£10?
Yeah, you could continue.
Thank you.
As a result of last night's raids, Picasso's Weeping Woman is now a bird base, Millet's Ophelia has become a frog, and Constable's The Hayway is a 4-foot square water bomb.
Are you coming up?
Please press the button that goes to floor 3.
Yeah.
Thank you. Prisons now, and a prison authority think tank to study breakout techniques is calling today for more prisoners to escape. Ideally, we need 2 or 3 major breakouts, said Chairman Gregory Shape. Any time in the next fortnight would be fine. Thank you. Goodbye. The time is... Excuse me, sir. Could I see your watch a moment? How accurate is that?
Well, say 30 minutes.
Plus or minus 30 minutes?
Yeah. Yes,
sir. The time is 76:01 plus 4 with fractions... Plus or minus 30
that's
seconds.
That's right, yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, sir, thank you. Hello, I'm here. Can you show me the mic?
What are you up?
The emergency news studio.
Emergency news studio?
This is the fire watch room.
So what, it's an emergency
news
room for if you were moved out of your studio for any reason?
No, no, it's happening right now. Having that telly on doesn't help.
I can't see why they've sent you to the fire watch room.
Very well. Could you just say, man in the box, play me a jingle?
Sorry?
You just say, man in the box, play me a jingle. I think we can get out of it that way.
Look, I'm the fire and security supervisor.
Big time.
If you don't leave this room now, it's going to be trouble. You're in the wrong room.
All right. Man in the box, play me that jingle now.
On the hour, leaves the apple to ripen on the bough, then harvests it at tremendous speed.
The news. I'm sorry, but all that sprinting with its associated anaerobic respiration has left me with something of an oxygen debt in my muscles. You give me 20 seconds of drama to burn it off.
On the hour.
Look, we'll have to talk about this. I'm not ready for this. Ah.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
George has something to tell you.
Yes, George?
Go on, George.
I...
Please, George, feel
I've been having an affair. Oh, my God.
Now look what's happened.
Father. Are you all right?
I just had a faint. Sit down. Thank you. Have a cup of tea. Thank you.
It was never meant to be like this. I don't know what...
Please. George? George, I want to say thank you. And Jane, for being so frank. I love you both.
No! Come back!
On the hour.
The news. A blue bottle has been terrorizing residents in the Essex village of Dedham. The insect appeared on Wednesday and started flying around in a lazy, menacing fashion, distressing the angry and driving startled villagers indoors. Speaking from a telephone in his fly-proofed cellar, a petrified parish councillor told us, "It makes a buzzing noise near your head. This could take a very long time indeed."
News update.
Police have issued details of a man they want to question. From ear witness accounts, they've managed to piece together audio fit details of the sound of the man's voice. He pronounces the monosyllabic word for distant like this. That's the word spelled C-A-N-E.
Gain.
If you heard him describing a pot of meat and vegetables, he'd say this.
Stew.
And the final syllable of centipede.
Peed.
The police say from assembling all the details of the man's voice, it's possible to tell how he actually sounds.
Gain.
Stew.
Peed.
Green desk.
Green news update from me, Rosie May. Soil is our friend. Scientist Sam Pinnell of the Clapham Soil Research Centre has fashioned an entire house and all its contents out of nothing less than soil.
Environmental news. If it's green, we'll cover it.
This is Alan Partridge with a big sports desk. Soccer news. Arsenal's Paul Merson is fighting a stomach bug that has left him as weak as a kitten just 24 hours before the Gunners League clash with Everton tomorrow. He's been vomiting twice an hour like a broken food mixer and has a really nasty case of diarrhea. Apparently, he's also got hemorrhoids and has picked up a bit of thrush. Still, all being well, he should be fit for the game at Goodison tomorrow.
On the hour. Current affairs broadcasting melded with the broadness of life.
Now, news comes in all shapes and sizes, and seldom more shapely or sizey than when CBN's Barbara Wintergreen is wearing it. Her name is stuck all over this piece of tape, which, according to my examination of the magnetic alignments of its oxide, is about guns and how they dominate American presidential campaigns.
This country is none other than the country which is the one that you now are all living in it.
Governor Donald Castriamo of Delaware injecting fervor into a campaign which he hopes this year will propel him to the presidency of the United States. But behind the hard words is a stack of soft-focus techniques coordinated by Castriamo campaign manager Stag Cooper.
Guns, we shouldn't need to carry them at all. And the best way to illustrate this, we thought, would be to have a great bonanza day where we recreate the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. So we've hired a grassy knoll, the original Lincoln convertible that he drove in. We had that cleaned up, of course. And we thought we'd illustrate the power of the gun by having a trained marksman, and he'll shoot the person as he comes through. Now, don't worry, we're not going to use the real president. We're going to get a guy to stand in, a man called Daniel Jeffries, who is on death row. And he's doing a service to the community, and I understand he's a registered Democrat. So this man will be dying for the Democrats.
Film star Demi Moore will play the role of Jackie Kennedy in this gun-crazy, gun-control media murder. Demi Moore, star of Ghost, looks like you're performing with another dead guy. Why are you doing it?
I'm doing it because I believe in America. I'm doing it for my fellow people. I'm doing it because it's going to be fun.
Some people would say that was in dubious taste. What would you say to that?
I'd say to them, what is taste? Some people like an apple, some people like a strawberry. Grandmothers suck eggs. Why? God knows, but they do it.
Well, we're in the car and we're ready to go. How do you feel, guys?
It's a very beautiful experience for me to be able to put something back into the community after taking so much out of it.
I think we're ready to go now.
I'm going to stand up, wave to the crowds, and just say, you know, I'm Daniel Jeffries, but I'm here, I'm JFK, and it's a big moment for me, and it's just, you know, words can't read.
So it looks as if this is going to be one election issue that will lodge forever in people's brains. And come the fall, Pastriamo and the Democrats hope to make a killing. Barbara Wintergreen, CBN News, Dallas, Texas.
On the Hour. Knows where it is and how to get there by taxi.
Now, with the time not quite near enough anywhere specific on the clock face for me to pinpoint a number, it is time, nonetheless, for Thought for the Day from... I'm sorry about the noise, incidentally. Now, if you could just turn up the microphone, I think there is a noise. Bit louder. There. You know, there's a sort of background noise anyway, which is rather unpleasant. And then... There. Did you hear that? It's kind of rumble. Like a very distant sort of burp. I'm sorry about that noise. Anyway, here's Monsignor Trebe Lopez with Thought for the Day. It's all right, it's gone now.
Do you want eggs or toast for breakfast? Asked my wife this morning. Ah, I saith, the Lord God is my breakfast, come rain or shine.
Well, there's just 5 minutes to go until the moment that On the Hour goes 24 hours and news is continuous. But first of all, it's time for Customer Services, our radio opinion program reflecting the views of you, the public, on us, the output. Here's Chris Crispy of the Fiscal Telegraph.
Hello. This week, we've had a number of complaints about the reporting on Radio 1's news program, News Banger. One item singled out by many of you was the program's feature on the armed siege on a school in Bracknell last Saturday.
News Bang FM.
It was a siege of steadily building drama as hours of tension between armed police and the gunman holding the children hostage mounted. And then an amazing climax in a hail of bullets.
Load up, load up, load up, we're all the bullets.
Of course, these bullets were not rubber, they were real, as some of the innocent bystanders were to find out.
Raw meat news.
32-year-old Todd Brampton, whose 8-year-old daughter was one of the hostages, was hit by stray bullets in the crossfire. He must have been feeling down. One FM's Conan Batterschrist caught a few words with him before he was taken off in an ambulance.
Quick question, please, Todd. Just a quick question. You two, a spent musical force now, or still worthy standard bearers for the future of rock?
Thrusting deep inside the news whore. Newsbanger FM.
Dear BBC, in asking a dying man about the future of rock group U2, the so-called reporter demonstrated more clearly than ever exactly what is wrong with BBC news programmes. U2 is a collective proper noun and therefore cannot be referred to as a plural, and yet the reporter in question clearly said standard bearers. Please, have him sacked immediately and replace him with a Dimbleby. That letter, from Cos Watson of Newport, was one of several I took down to see the producer of the programme, Leslie Mapps. Leslie, you've heard what our correspondents have to say. What's your defence?
It's my program. I made it. If they don't like it, they can bog off.
Right. So, to put it another way, you're extremely sorry that your judgment is in conflict with that of our correspondents.
No. And you... To put it another way, it's only bloody nutters who complain. I don't give a lusty fuck what they think. The programme's gone out. It's caused offence. So bloody what?
Right. So, I think what you're saying is that your broadcast merely illustrates a small change in the use of English.
No.
A language which is, after all, constantly changing anyway.
Not what I'm saying.
And many would say it derives its strength from that flexibility.
No! What I'm saying is bollocks to the lie-o! Especially yo, you nonsense great fairy!
On the hour... Choice morsels from a broad kitchen.
Now, as a result of new research at the Cambridge University Department of Astrophysics, man has come one step closer to understanding the true nature of space. Our reporter Stephanie Hootram has been talking to the department's Dr. Dennis O'Brien to find out more.
I wonder if you could explain to me a little bit about the nature of the universe as you see it.
We have a new form of computer technology, which I won't go into. It's enormously complex. The nub of it is that it can represent numerical data in a visual form. Therefore, if you tap in all the known coordinates of the paths of all known planets, the computer is able to form a visual image based on this data. And the visual image the computer has formed is a perfect representation of... my own face.
What did you feel about this?
Well, I was frightened at first, then quite flattered, and then frightened again. I've rechecked the coordinates, allowing for variables of orbit due to the slow death of white dwarf stars and the influence of black holes. But this has simply produced my own face again, but this time with more wrinkles and a couple of moles and less hair. A kind of aging of the universe as replicated in my own natural aging process. Extraordinary results.
And what are the implications of this?
Either I've been subconsciously organising an enormous amount of highly complex data with a deliberate subconscious bias knowing it would form the my face image, which, to be frank, seems mathematically impossible and beyond human capabilities anyway. The other alternative is that I am the God King of Space and supreme deity of the universe, which... it's quite a responsibility.
That report was by Stephanie Hootram. Sport now, and earlier today, Linford Christie won his race. Alan Partridge caught up with him literally seconds after he'd finished.
You've just finished that race.
That was a good race, and...
What time was it? What time?
Came in just a touch over 10 seconds with a wind against me, so it can't be bad at all.
Ah, certainly very good, that 10 seconds. How far were you running? Half a mile?
It was 100 metres, actually, Alan, 100 metres.
That's not too far, is it? Now, your gear, your shorts especially. They used to be quite baggy, I remember, in the early 70s, and progressively through the 80s and now the 90s, they seem to have got tighter and tighter. One thing that particularly puzzles me is, in sprinters especially, is the buttocks of a man appear to be a lot more well-defined than those of a woman. You know, I was looking at you walking off there, the muscle definition from on each of your... buttocks as you walk is quite well defined. It's there's no flab. It's rock hard. I mean, I wanted to prod it to see if it was as hard as it looked. Obviously, I couldn't do that.
And those pectorals, they're just like sort of plates of meat. In a way, I suppose that's what they are.
Fantastic. It's a great body. You deserve it. You've worked for it. Can't help admiring it. If I had a body like that, I'd be wandering around the flat naked all day, looking at myself in mirrors. But obviously. I do that now. Mrs. Partridge just says, get your dressing gown on and you look like a Christmas turkey. And she's right, in a way. My time's passed. I'm sort of, you know, well over the other side, so to speak. No point me working out. But you, just look at you. Fantastic.
And just let me remind you, we're less than 2 minutes away from the moment On the Hour becomes a full 24-hour fixture.
On the Hour. A sensible broadsheet among the brightly coloured rubbish.
Now, if you've missed some of the news between 1940 and 1990, you'll no doubt be interested in a new series of cassettes produced by the BBC to celebrate the events of that time span. The first is issued today. It marks the 1960s. On the Hour, of course, is strapped firmly to the news horse, an animal with a very certain sense of its own history, so it's not exactly inappropriate for us to feature a lengthy preview of some of the news of the decade that was 10 years in the history of news. I'm talking, of course, about the 1960s.
1961, and the start of a new era of optimism. At his inaugural address, the young President John Kennedy set the tone with his relaxed and confident manner.
Well, it's a doobity-doo. Yes, it's a doobity-doo. I mean a doobie-doobie-doobie-doobie-doobie-dee-doo. Let's get back to where we belong and get with the beat.
But the decade of hope was nearly cut dead in its first year when intelligence satellites over Cuba detected a large spike pointing straight at the United States. The Americans were already concerned that communists were being sent into American cities to hide behind corners and trip people up, and World War III was only averted when brave American soldiers threw themselves onto the spike to prevent it doing any damage. Then, on November the 22nd, 1963, a stunned world was told of the assassination of Mickey Mouse. Horrified onlookers could only watch as America's favorite cartoon character was shot to pieces in front of their children.
Coming down the street, and my five-year-old boy and myself were by ourselves on the grass there on Palmer Street, and I asked Joe to wave to him, and Joe waved, and I waved, and the man...
It's all right, sir.
You were... Go ahead, Charlie. As he was waving back, he was... The shot rang out and he slumped down in the seat.
Throughout the decade, in Vietnam, American soldiers were being outmaneuvered by the Viet Cong, who'd been trained to duck. The United States responded by sending in smaller troops to stop the bullets going over the enemy's heads, but this momentary success was soon parried by the Viet Cong, who then started dropping look-behind-you leaflets on the GIs and shooting the backs of their heads as soon as they turned round. 1969, and a new pinnacle in man's achievement, as America became, with Apollo 11, the very first nation to put a sheepdog trial on the moon. 1 billion TV viewers worldwide watched as Buzz Aldrin rounded up the flock.
We're now in the approach phase, everything looking good. 2,000 feet, into the ag, 47 degrees, Roger. Eagle looking great. Here go. Down 2.5. Forward. Forward. 4 forward. 4 forward. Drift into the right level.
Well, we're becoming rather pushed for time, but there is a moment to tell you about programs later today on Radio 4. If I can say this without hesitation, deviation or repetition, there's a new series of Just a Minute. Tonight's special guest is Prince Edward.
The subject is guilt. But can you talk on the subject of guilt starting now?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. I mean, it goes back to this, you know, with friends. And it's very difficult, really, you know, to be able to go... Yes, I mean, to have a... You certainly, I mean...
That's Just a Minute tonight on Radio 4, and we really are frantically pushed for time now. The weather from Suzanne Charlton at the London Weather Centre.
Temperatures, winds, chilly.
Thank you, Suzanne. And just ahead of the pips, I can tell you about the roads today. The M5, the A46, the A12 and the B1067.
Welcome to Perma News. As from this moment on Radio 4, On the Hour becomes a 24-hour fact machine. That's news for 24 hours every day, each day of the week, every week of all fortnights. All other programs on Radio 4 no longer exist, and in a sense, they never really have. For news has existed since before the dawn of man. In the beginning, there was the news, and the news was good.
And just before we plunge headlong into the news infinity, a special feature about how that news will be assembled for broadcast.
Find the time 13 minutes to 9.
Righto, Peter, election piece, keep it fluffy.
Now then, if a week in politics is a long time, what's a whole election campaign?
Well, eternity.
I say eternity is the word that springs unwillingly to my mind.
DG would like a mention of China.
But as Mao Zedong would no doubt have said, an election campaign starts...
Control is the key to successful news programming. Control not only in the studio, but in the planning. 10:30 a.m. and the morning meeting starts with a breakdown of yesterday's transmission.
We want to talk about last night, the 8 o'clock. We've got to dissect that before we go any further, OK? I've got a few words to say. Marco, tell us what you thought of it.
Well, I thought to lead with Major's tart with a heart was absolutely pathetic.
I agree with Mark. The Major story shouldn't have been where it was.
Yeah.
Thin, way too thin. I mean, it just looks scurrilous.
I like the fact you've got an opinion. That's novel from one of your gender. I like it. It chimes in my ears.
Dear, please.
The time is 17 minutes to 7.
OK, push for time, Brian. Let's crack on. No chat.
I thought we had a national lottery. It's called the budget. The
ha, bloody ha!
10:45 and the agenda has moved to today.
Number one, we got Bolivia.
Right, yeah. Well, I've already said that it's brewing there and it's going to go off. My sources say it's going to be next week, and I just think I've got to just jump on the first plane.
It's very speculative.
It's not at all speculative. It's actually...
Well, I mean, where are your sources?
Well, I'm not going to tell you where my source is. If I tell you my source, I blow the source.
Roger, can I just cut straight in here? Roger, I'm a little bit concerned because I've been working on this imported monkey that are having problems with the RSPCA, and...
you're not going to fly with the monkey.
Can I just say something? Pain, misery, everyone loves a monkey. This is a story... It's the last organ grinder in Britain.
Listen, I can definitely get Prescott on the line.
I want you across a sexy story today.
Well, I'm saying the transport story is sexy, because it's going to
spread. Okay, I'll throw this open. If it's sexy, let's put it on the table and see who'll shag it.
Eggs can explode if put in whole, or even if the shell has been broken because of the yolk sac.
Try good heavens, John.
Good heavens. So even if you try and do a poached egg, I suppose...
The programme in transmission. At the last minute, the intense deliberations of the morning meeting have been overthrown to accommodate a new main story, how to cook an egg.
There was a chap in the United States who put 7 eggs in a microwave, and on removing them, 6 of them exploded in his face.
Better have another good heavens, John.
Good heavens.
Closing music.
And just time to part the beef curtains of tomorrow's headlines. The Telegraph: angry sparrow pecks roof for 10 minutes. The Guardian: church cleaner filleted by slate from God. I see there's a free prawn inside tomorrow's Express. Health Minister grills foot in near-hilarious barbecue horror. That's today. And the rest of tomorrow's papers lead with spineless gibbon hails taxi. That's it. I'm Christopher Morris, and I've just heard my wife's had a baby. And I can tell you something. If it doesn't like news, I'm going to shove it straight back in again.
News edits were arranged by Steve Coogan and Rebecca Front. Online dubbing was by Patrick Marber and Dune McKeegan, and David Schneider was Wireman. News production was by Armando Iannucci. And now on Radio 4, On the Hour.
Roll out the red carpet. News is back in town. Good afternoon.
From me, Christopher Morris.
And me, Christopher Morris.
First, how today's main story
has developed in the last 12 minutes.
The Essex village of
Dedham continues to
menaced by a blue bottle.
Residents are still locked indoors.
And no one can provide an explanation.
Crisis stasis then.
But here's Christopher Morris
with a report on blue bottles.
The blue bottle is an insect built in the shape of a fly, with the characteristic six-leg compound eye features of its invertebrate order. It has 2 pairs of wings like a sopwith camel and no neck to speak of. Its colour is blue. There are hairs along its abdomen, which contains the breathing gear and egg-laying equipment. It flies.
Christopher Morris
reporting.
And joining me around the table
for the next 3 hours,
17 experts
and voices of opinion
to discuss
blue bottles,
their life,
their history,
their behaviour,
and everything.